You know, there's a reason for cautionary tales.
Then why don't more people heed their warnings?
I don't know. But after they hear my new show, they will think twice.
Oh yeah? About what?
Eating Tide Pods, playing with Ouija boards, talking to Karens, you name it. If you should heed caution, we're talking about it.
Check out Harper's brand new podcast, Cautionary Tales with Harper. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you download podcasts.
And be sure to press subscribe and give us a review.
Cautionary Tales with Harper.
Subscribe wherever you download podcasts today.
Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, it is Halloween 2020. Real ghost stories from real people, as we always title our Halloween show and have done so far beyond the show even existing. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. Your calls, your stories. It's Real Ghost Stories from Real People today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown. Possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And it is 855-853-4802 is our phone number here.
At Real Ghost Stories Online.
Yep.
I don't know how far you're going with it, but yes, yes it is. And of course, you can also write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you like our show, consider becoming an EPP. That's an extra podcast person. You sign up to be one at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. That way, all year long, you can get bonus episodes of the show released to you every single week. Advanced ones released to you weeks before they go to the public, and they're commercial free. You also get our ebook, our audiobook, and you can get a 1 month free if you sign up for an annual membership. Two places to do that, ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. October 31st, 2020 is the day that this show is dropping, which makes it our Halloween edition of Real Ghost Stories Online this evening. If you're listening to it in real time, we will be having a Facebook Live Halloween party going on.
Yeah, happy Halloween, everyone.
It's me and Harper on the program today, as Harper's always here on our Saturday weekend editions. So your first year doing the show, you get to co-host on the Halloween episode. So congratulations. It's kind of a neat thing. This show has existed, or a variation of it has existed before the podcast ever even existed. When I was on regular radio, I would, on Halloween, always do ghost stories on the air in between the songs. And I always called it Real Ghost Stories from Real People. And usually, if it was in Wisconsin, it was Wisconsin Real Ghost Stories. If it was Kansas, if it was Michigan, if it was whatever state I was in, it would be about, you know, people calling in from those areas. Obviously, we're worldwide now. So the stories come from all over the world, but it is still Real Ghost Stories from Real People. And if I look back now, how many Halloweens have I done a show like this? Now, let's see here. It's 2020. I'd say 90. I've been in radio since 96, but I'd say it was about 98 or so when I started doing the shows. So this would be like the 22nd annual. If you're the one person who still remembers me being like 16 and doing the show on FM radio in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. That's how long it's been this kind of variation of the show. It's kind of a fun little milestone to continue to do every single year, and really need to be able to do it with my daughter now and share. Well, we do this show every week, but it's the Halloween edition. So,
well, Halloween is your favorite holiday and my favorite holiday.
It is. So if you got a real ghost story, send them in. We do this show year round. If you're just happening to find us on Halloween looking for spooky stuff, press subscribe, because we got shows for you every single day, all year long.
Today, it's our kid-friendly edition. No swearing, still spooky stories.
Yep, so you can enjoy it with the family. I can't say it's not going to be spooky, though. That it will be. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Let's jump over to our first caller of Halloween 2020, Real Ghost Stories from Real People on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Caitlin, I am actually new to your guys' podcast. I just discovered it not even a week ago, but I just listened to an episode of a guy who said that he was on the second floor of his house and he saw the drama face in his window, or I guess the best way he could describe it was the drama face, like the drama mask. And that made me remember, or forcefully reminded me of when I was in, I think, middle school. I used to like to read late at night, and I would have my window blinds open with the window shut because I live in Florida, so it's always hot. And I would like to do that because I like to see the moon when I was reading. And I remember I was reading one night, and it was getting really late. I don't know how late it was. But I got this sinking feeling that somebody was watching me. And so I remember specifically getting close, like scooting into my bed and like trying to like hide behind my book. And the feeling just got heavier and heavier. And I finally worked up the courage to pull my book down. And in my window, I saw not the drama, but like the comedy version of the mask, where it was like smiling, but it was just white and hollow. And usually I can see like the trees and my neighbor's house and the moon, but it was just pitch black in that white face in my window. And I was just frozen in fear. And I remember looking at it and just trying to comprehend what I was seeing. And then finally the fight or flight snapped in, and I jumped up out of bed and I ran into my dad's room and my parents' room, and my dad went out there with a gun because, you know, that's what you do in Florida. And he didn't see anything. There was nothing going on. The leaves were perfectly fine underneath my window. And I just remember how scared I was to go back in my room. And ever since then, I've never slept with my window blinds open because I'm terrified of what's looking in. And I have quite a few stories. I refuse to call myself sensitive because I don't want that. I don't want the gift, so to speak. And I sound insane just saying that. But sometimes it kind of just forces its way through, even as much as I push back and refuse to accept it. So I have a few more stories. If I build up the courage to call in again, I will. But thank you so much for all that you guys do, keeping it interesting for me during the quarantine. And I hope you guys have a great day.
Creepy story.
Yeah, I would say that's like a stalker, not really something paranormal.
But the fact that the dad didn't ever see the person, do you think they got away? Do you think it was something paranormal? What are you thinking?
Well, that's a hard one. I think it could have been paranormal. If she said that she could normally see the neighbor's trees, mm-hmm. and but no, just the thing around the mask was just pitch black.
Almost hollow, as she put it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's troubling because you can look at the angle of, well, is there a crazy person? But why are they running? Why is a stalker running around with, I guess, that mask on? But I guess maybe, you know, whatever mask you got. But
grins are creepy.
Yeah. It's just a creepy thought to have that hanging outside your bedroom window, no matter what. How do you handle that? I think they handled it the best way that they possibly could. Dad ran out there with a gun to see if there was somebody there, but there was nobody there. But it'll probably remain a mystery in their lives forever to try and figure out what exactly the hell was outside of their house.
Yeah, and it really never said if the dad saw anything. It just said he ran out with a gun.
Well, she said that he didn't see anything. So whatever was there either got away or disappeared. quite literally, if it was something paranormal. Thank you for sharing that story with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi.
Hey, Bruce Keys. My name is Lex. I live in Washington State. I actually did call in with a story a few weeks ago. I don't think it's been aired yet. Probably won't be because it was super long. But I never left my name, so called in about my parents' house becoming haunted after my little brother started watching creepy YouTube videos that basically brought on a bunch of hauntings in the house for a little while. Anyways, calling with a shorter, quick story. A couple weeks ago, I went on the very first ghost hunt. There's a paranormal investigator here in Bellingham, where I'm from in Washington State, and I decided that me and a few friends would go along on this ghost hunt. I'd never been on one before, and even though I've seen some things in my childhood home before, I was still pretty skeptical that we were going to see anything. So we showed up, and it ended up only being me, three of my friends, and then this paranormal investigator. And we went into a little town called Fairhaven. It's part of Bellingham. It's the historic part of town, basically. And we went into these trails where the founder of Fairhaven, I believe, his name is Dirty Dan Harris, his cabin used to be. And there's like a bunkhouse or something, like a slave bunkhouse. I can't remember exactly what it is, but it's the trails are known to be haunted. So I went on my first ghost hunt, and we had brought some equipment, voice recorders, some REM pods, K2 meters, that sort of thing, and then, of course, a night vision camera. When I was there, I didn't know what to expect. I didn't think we would capture much, but most of what we got was just, you know, our own personal experiences that I couldn't document, but I know for a fact what I experienced was completely real. Saw a lot of shadow figures for the first time. I saw an orb over my shoulder when I went walking down the trail on my own, which I didn't think I'd do, but I got so sucked into the experience, I started doing things I never thought I would do on a ghost hunt, which was wandering off on my own. Saw some of the K2 meters react right in front of us, which was crazy. I had a REM pod light up next to me one time. We caught a few noises and sounded like whispers on the voice recorders, which was amazing. The scariest part was we were all starting to gather up the equipment to move to a different location, and we kept hearing like footsteps in the bushes, and it was big. It wasn't like bear or anything, but it wasn't small like a raccoon. It was pretty significant. So we thought it was a person. The problem with our town is there's a lot of homeless, so we were assuming it was a homeless person. So we kind of surrounded the area of the bushes where we were hearing the footsteps and shined our flashlights in, and there was nothing there. Absolutely nothing. We searched the area. There was nobody there, but it definitely sounded like a person just shuffling back and forth watching us. Somebody threw a stick in there at first thinking it was an animal, and usually if you startle an animal you can hear it bolt. Nothing happened. The steps just continued to shuffle back and forth uninterrupted. It was absolutely crazy. Anyway, that was my story. It was definitely an unforgettable experience, so that was cool to actually kind of seek out a paranormal experience instead of having it happen without it meaning to. So just wanted to share that story. Thank you guys for what you do. Love the show. And I am an EPP, became an EPP when I first called in. And I will continue to subscribe. Thank you very much. Bye.
Thank you for the support and being an EPP and helping to keep us on the air. So that sounds like she really got, a full fledged experience there when she went out and investigated.
You know that when she said that something lit up right beside her, mm-hmm. I forgot what that was called.
It was one of the pieces of equipment. I don't recall which one she was talking about.
I think it's like a Echo pod?
REM pod or something. I don't know what it was exactly, but it was something that that lit up.
Can you please like Google that and then put it up on the screen?
Not at this moment, but I can show you what some ghost hunting equipment looks like later.
Okay.
And that, then you can see what it is. But these are things that supposedly pick up on activity. And you can ask it questions and say, you know, if your answer is yes, make the green light light up. Or if it's no, make the blue light light up. Or if you can just communicate with me, if you can hear me and you can manipulate this device, just make the red light light up. Or make the you're asking for it to do specific instructions and you see if it can manipulate it. And if it can, it kind of shows you you're communicating with something intelligent. And then from there on out, you can ask it more detailed questions. There's all different ways, all different types of equipment out there that people use now to try and communicate on an investigation. Now, I guess I'm going to ask you, is that something that scares you? Like if you were out there and you started listening into this equipment and you're getting conscious answers from ghosts on the other side to your questions, how would you be reacting?
Like, amazing. Because I hear stories like this all the time. It's like, this actually sounds kind of fun.
So you actually that would not be a scary prospect to you.
I would be thrilled.
That's the giant difference between you and Mom. Because Jen is like, no way in hell do I ever want to go out there. But she knows that you love this idea. So I wouldn't be surprised if at some point you're out there and coming back with stories from what you've experienced.
Might even be calling into this show.
Yeah, I think you'd be doing more than calling into this show. But I don't know how... It's like someone who's contaminated with radiation that enters a building. They have to go through like some sort of radiation de-cleansing unit to enter. Mom will have like a little tent that you have to walk in before you walk into the house after you go on an investigation that's filled with sage smoke and salt and lamb's blood. like, okay, Harper can come in now after her investigation. She's been cleansed.
Like, are you trying to summon something with that lamb's blood?
No, I'm talking about things that people use to like cleanse homes and things of that nature.
Oh.
And Mom being paranoid of you having something attached to you after going on an investigation at some point in your life.
Well, so. I would close the conversation peacefully, just like, okay, thank you for responding to my questions. Goodbye.
Don't you dare follow me home. You know, that's probably how it would end. So, all right. Thank you for calling in that story and sharing it with us. 855-853-4802, our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's get another real ghost story from real people.
Hey, Tony, Jenny, or whoever else is co-hosting the show today. This is Allie from Utah again. A couple of months ago, I wrote in this story and I haven't heard it yet, but it seems like I'm getting through better with phone calls, so I'm going to try and call in this story. As I've said previously, me and my family are all fairly sensitive, and it just occurred to me a while ago that most of my experiences have been positive or fairly neutral, except for two specific, very dark entities, I guess is the best way to describe them, that I've encountered. So this story is about one I encountered probably about 4 or 5 years ago. As you know, I work at an animal shelter that I've experienced several things with. And this particular day, it was fairly dark and stormy. Got in early in the morning to clean and feed animals and do my general routine. But unfortunately, the power to the building had been disconnected and was out. And there was nobody else at the shelter, nobody else at the other facility that we work with to kick on the generator. So I basically had to go through my cleaning routine and morning work in the dark. The way the shelter is set up, there's a very long hallway that has an fire exit door at the end of it that leads outside. And down this hallway, there are several doors that open up into our dog kennels and cat rooms. The dog kennels have skylights in the middle of the rows, but they don't really illuminate the kennels very easily, especially when it's that dark and overcast. So I had gone down to the end of the hallway and opened the emergency exit door to try and let some light into the hallway so I could continue my work. So I opened that door all the way, kicked the stand down so it would stay open, turned on the flashlight for my phone, and got started working on the animals that I needed to move and clean and all of that. So I had taken a bunch of dogs outside to go to the bathroom while I cleaned their kennels. So I'm in the dog room. I'm spraying out kennels, spraying any debris to the back of the kennels where our drain system is. And I see out of the corner of my eye a dog moving in a kennel. And I think to myself, that's strange. I've already moved everybody out of this room. So I walk over to that kennel thinking, this is a new dog that I didn't see. Because again, it's dark. And I can vaguely see probably 2-3 inches into the dog kennel, but the rest of it's fairly dark. And I'm shining my light through, and I move over to the next kennel, and there's no dog in there. I'm like, okay, maybe just see something out of the corner of my eye, continue on with my cleaning. And as I'm spraying that kennel down in the light area that I can see, I see our resident bloodhound ghost hanging out in the back of the kennel, just past my eye line. Like, you know, when you're looking down at something, you can kind of see when there's something higher up than your immediate point of vision. He's kind of hanging out in like the corner of my vision and just kind of around to where I couldn't look at him directly, but I could see him kind of just hanging out in my peripherals. My girl and I, pretty used to him showing up. Not very common to see him very often, but I'm like, okay, hey, nice to see you. Continue on with my work. And I go to cross the hallway to a different room, and I see none more movement out of the peripheral of my vision towards the exit door. And I turn and I look directly at the exit, and standing in this probably 7-foot tall doorway is a very large, dark silhouette of a man, basically a shadow person. And I see it standing there, and it's just standing in the doorway of the exit door. I'm like, okay. Very freaked out about this, but if I just ignore it, it'll go away. So I continue on with my cleaning. As I'm going back and forth, it'll like disappear and then reappear. As I'm going about my cleaning and coming out of the rooms and going back in, I come out and the shadow man is in the doorway. I'll come out of a room again and he's gone. So that continued several times as I was cleaning, and I just had this kind of sense that he was really dark. Like, he wasn't something I was like, oh, I'm just popping in to say hi. He seemed very possibly malicious. I don't know. He just sent off a feeling of dark and wrong with him. So I get stuff prepared to start doing the cats. And as I was doing my other work, I just kept getting this, you know, creepy fingers down your spine, just totally freaked out. And as I'm continuing on with my cleaning, trying to ignore seeing him pop up in and out of my vision, I just get this blanket over me. I get heavier and heavier and heavier as he stopped disappearing every time. So I'm like, okay, I'm super freaked out. I'm texting my friend the whole entire time, like, hey, this is happening to me. If something happens to me, tell somebody. Just totally freaking out. I was only 22, 23 at the time. And just really freaked out. I could tell it wasn't like a physical person standing there. So I'm like, okay, I'll get this stuff to do cats and just kind of lock myself in the cat room. Because at that point in time, the skylight in the cat room was the most illuminating light in the building because of the way it's positioned and the way it's open and designed. So I get all the stuff, the cleaning implements I need to do that room, and I come out of one of the rooms, and the shadow man I've been seeing just standing in the doorway the whole time has moved probably about 10, 15 feet away from me in the hallway. And I just got this sense of dread of he's going to be coming after me. So I book it to the cat room, take all my cleaning implements, and basically walk myself into this cat room. I'm texting my friend, I'm freaking out, and even though I didn't see anything, I got this, you know, information download, kind of like this picture in the back of my mind. Like, even though I didn't see it physically, I could sense that this was happening. And I felt like the shadow man was pressing his face against the glass panel that's set into the door of this room, watching me and waiting for me. And unfortunately, the way the cat room is positioned and designed, it has a short hallway that connects to the big long hallway that is just pitch black. And in a 90-degree angle from the door to the room that I'm in is also a storage room that doesn't have any door. It just stays open. And I kept getting this picture in my mind that he was standing in the darkness of that storage room waiting for me to come out so he could get me. I don't know what he would do if he would get me, what would happen if I would be attacked. I kept getting this sense, unfortunately, the way I positioned the cleaning implements I needed, I had to keep walking pretty much right up to that door. And I kept getting this feeling that he was just like throwing himself up against this glass panel and like peeking in, watching what I was doing. And finally, somebody from the other facility came in, turned on our backup generators, and the lights went up. I still kind of had this uneasy feeling that he was hanging around in like the darker parts of the building, just watching me as I continued my cleaning. But eventually he just dissipated throughout the day and has never stopped by for a visit again. So I'm not entirely sure why. Pretty much my only question is why on this particular day, why was he sitting there watching and almost hunting me as I was cleaning? I just don't know. If you guys have any ideas, or if anybody from the community has any idea why, that would be a great help and really put my mind at ease. I can't wait to call in for the second very dark entity I've encountered before. These two incidences have definitely made me wary of the other side, where before all of my encounters were fairly positive, if not just kind of neutral. So these incidents definitely made me wary of what approaches me or what I approach. I love listening to the podcast. Again, if you guys have any ideas or answers, I'd love to hear them. Thank you for what you guys do. Bye.
I think it was an evil old man, and you happen to have his loving pet dog Snuckles in there, and he just wants to cuddle Snuckles. That's all it is.
Hell no. What does malicious mean?
Malicious means with ill intent, with mean intent, with not good intent.
Okay, good to know. That's a creepy story.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think there is this being that seems to roam the halls of this animal facility day after day and really cause torment?
I don't know, but if I were her, I'd be like, you know what? Take my phone, I'm taking my pet Snoopy, and I'm going to get the hell out of here.
Well, it's kind of her job. So if
yeah, and I'm going to say...
You're saying you would quit your job and you'd be like, this is just too much?
This is too much. This is tormenting me. And it's like watching every single movement I do in that mm-hmm. building. So it's just like, I need to get the hell out of here.
Well, you know, my response was kind of joking. And it was actually a reference to, I think there was a line in Ghostbusters, something like that, where Bill Murray makes a line of, oh, he's just missing his puppy. I think it was about Vigo, the Carpathian. That's why he's angry. He's missing his puppy, something of that nature. So you might have Vigo in there missing his puppy. But in all seriousness, we have stories of ghosts that attach themselves onto objects and things of that nature. Why not their pet? In all seriousness, and it's very plausible that you have someone that is an ill-intent person, a malicious-type person, who has a pet that was lovable and nice and good, and it wasn't bad at all. Yet the pet itself,
it's a bloodhound.
Yeah, you know, it is. You know, something was attached to it. So I think you may have the two may be connected and they may be kind of haunting together, or they may be completely unrelated. And so that the man entity is somehow attached to an animal that is residing there at the current time. And just, you know, isn't necessarily trying to scare you, but also doesn't like other people interacting with his pets or pet. So, some thoughts on what could possibly be going on in that situation. Our phone number is 855-853-4802. Hi.
Hello, my name is Ariana. I live here in New Mexico. I wanted to share a story that happened a couple years back. When we were living in Mexico, my mom and I, we experienced something that we've seen. So I just wanted to share my thoughts with John. So it started off, you know, one day, it was actually late at night. My mom was ironing clothes in her room, and she was getting ready to put everything up. Well, she had the curtains open, and you see, my aunt, she lived in front of us, and the way the house is, was we were able to see their backyard. So like the houses were connected. It was my aunt's house, and then you could see the backyard and our kitchen and our kitchen window and my mom's bedroom window. We could see their backyard. So my mom happens to call me. She's like, Ariana, come here. Cause I was in the kitchen. I believe I was on the computer. And so I go over there and she's like, I need you to go to the kitchen, back to the kitchen, and turn off the light. She said, because what she was seeing was a figure of a woman on their screen door, their sliding door, I guess you could say. And I said, okay, well, let me go do that. I go back to the kitchen. I turn off the light because my mom was thinking it was a reflection of the curtains, you know, hitting their sight. So I turn it off, it was pitch black, and we still seen the figure of the woman. When we seen that, it was terrifying. Like, it would my heart just sank. And reason because, you know, it was the figure of my aunt. And what's creepier, no one was even at the house. So my mom calls me as soon as she sees the figure. She's like, come over here. Like, come check this out. So, you know, the lights were off in the kitchen. My mom's lights were turned off as well. And we're peeking out the window. And there's no way, like, if it would have been the curtains from the, you know, from my mom's room hitting their screen, like their sliding door, then yeah, I could understand, but everything was off, completely off. And that's when we kind of just freaked out. And there has been many stories that happened in that house, my aunt's house. There was a time too that I was staying over there at her house. I remember I had went over for vacation, and I remember, you know, falling asleep in my cousin's room because my cousin had went out of town. So my aunt left me to sleep in her room. Well, I honestly don't know what time it was. I know it was late at night though, because everyone was asleep. So I'm just laying there, you know, just asleep. I know I was falling asleep. I was more asleep than awake. When I hear chains, I heard like someone was walking in the hallway, and I can just hear chains. I have never been so scared like that, you know, like that night. And there had been another time that we had left a quinceañera. And, you know, over there in Mexico, it's quinceañera. It's like a sweet 16, but it's when they turn 15 years old over there. And it was late. It was like maybe 2 in the morning. We had barely got out of the dance, and we came to my aunt's house, you know, and we were all there eating late at night. And I went to the bathroom, and, you know, I use the restroom, whatever, and then I go ahead and, you know, wash my hands. As soon as I'm about to walk out of the bathroom, I'm putting my hand to where I'm about to turn off the light when the light switch just turns off on me. And then my brother has also experienced in that house, in the middle of the night, the kitchen cabinets, like the drawers, like they're moving, opening. And there has not just been one person say stuff about the house. There have been different people that have said stuff about the house. Also, my aunt's neighbor, she had said that she woke up very early in the morning to go to work, and she sees my aunt light on, and she's, oh, that's weird, you know, she's like, it's weird to see Sylvia awake so early. And she said when she was walking to work, you know, because over there in Mexico, you know, you can walk places, it's very close distance. So she was walking, and she said she seen a woman staring out the window, you know, like she was just peeking out the window. And that afternoon when her neighbor got out of work, she told her, hey, you know, who was that lady that was awake so early? Like, there was a lady peeking outside the window. And my aunt was like, really? And she's like, no. So we were all asleep. She's like, at 5 in the morning. She's like, yeah. She goes, there was a lady with the lights on in your, you know, in your living room. And I seen the lady peeking out the window when I was walking. Well, my aunt starts asking her, well, describe her. How did she look? Well, the neighbor described her exactly like how her aunt had looked. And what's crazy is that lady that the neighbor seen, she's my aunt's aunt, and she's the one that used to live in our house behind her. So I just thought I'd share this. A lot of crazy experiences. I have more stories that I would like to call and tell. So I'm hoping you guys enjoy it, and I hope to hear it on here. Thank you so much.
Well, it just sounds like this aunt's just saying hi.
Just coming back for a quick little visit?
Yeah.
I think in many cases, it's all it really is. It's just someone that's coming back either to check on, not necessarily residually haunt or consciously continually wander around and haunt, but more so like how, hey, somebody's going to drop by for a visit. I think sometimes you have that on the other side too, where they literally just drop by for a visit.
Yeah, and it's not like this weird entity is keeping your neighbors from sleeping in their house.
Mm-hmm.
Like that story, what was the neighborhood? The Lost Homes.
Mm-hmm.
Remember?
Yeah, I do remember that. It's hard to know exactly what, but I think this one does feel like it's a little bit more, you know, just straightforward of the aunt coming by and saying hi. Let's take another call. Hi.
Hey, Tony. My name is Antonio. I currently live in the state of Oregon. This story takes place in the city of Douglas. Just a little backstory. The city of Douglas had an internment camp during the 1940s. for the Italian and German officers of World War II. We lived within the square mile that used to be the entire mile camp. In my house, I had a five-year-old son who had seen something. We didn't know what was going on, but he was having like nightmares and fits. And I worked a night shift on an oil rig, so I would leave for a week and come home for a week. And on one of these stops home, my wife had asked me to stop leaving the closet light on when I left for the week. I didn't know what she was talking about because I don't turn the light on because I didn't want to wake her up. What I would do is I'd shut the door and I'd turn my cell phone light on. And I would just get dressed and pack my bags for the week, and then I would take off. Well, one day while I'm home for my week, I'm getting my son ready for his preschool, and I'm putting his shoes on in the morning, and I don't know if you ever see a dog like when you talk to it and it kind of turns its head to the side, like kind of doesn't understand you, but it knows that you're talking to it, you know. And my son kind of went, ooh. And I was like, what are you talking about, buddy? What's up? And he goes, Daddy, you see him? And I'm all, see who? And he goes, the man with no eyes. And I mean, what do you mean the man with no eyes? You know, and he's like, yeah. He goes, the man with no eyes, he was behind you really right now. And he ran back in your room. And I was like, what do you mean? Where did he ran back in my room? He's like, yeah. And I was okay. I didn't think anything of it. So I take him to school when I come back that day, and I was talking to him. And I asked him, you know, what do you mean, the man in my room that you were talking about this morning? And he goes in our room. Where does he go when he goes in me and mommy's room? And he goes in the closet, Daddy. He hides in the closet. So that's my story on that one. To this day, I still don't know where the gray man with no eyes came from, or the gray man with no eyes. But my wife used to freak out with that closet. She never liked it being open. And she always got the creepiest feelings being home alone when I wasn't around. So that's kind of where I'm coming from. I got some more that I'll send into you, but I gotta get back to work. So, all right, bye.
The man with no eyes. That should be a title of a YouTube video.
It probably already is. But to have that experience, I mean, you just said, you know, you're interested in doing some investigating in something. These are possibilities of things that you could end up encountering on such a thing. I mean, what's your thoughts on that? Does that idea scare you of encountering things of that nature?
No.
No, not at all. You'd be cool with saying the man with no eyes?
I'd be cool.
You say that now.
Yes, I say that now.
It would be interesting to have the video footage of the reaction when you see it. And here's why she really reacted. How do you think that would be as you look at me with a big grin on your face?
I don't know, but just the fact of a man with no eyes, it's creepy to hear about, but it probably will be creepy to see, but I'll be cool with it.
You'll be cool with it. You'll have prepared yourself.
Yeah.
You'll be all ready. All right. Well,
I'll be having a shotgun with me.
It doesn't usually help with ghosts. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. Real Ghost Stories from Real People, Halloween 2020. Thank you guys for listening. If you like our show, we do this thing year-round. Sign up to be an extra podcast person. We call them EPPs. Ghostpodcast.com is where you can do that, or patreon.com/realghoststories, and help keep our show on the air. Until next time, for Harper and all of us at Real Ghost Stories Online, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening, and happy Halloween.